Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, what a turnaround in the weather. We tried to go out and make a slush man in the parking lot, but he ended up looking like cookies and cream ice cream. It was disgusting.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, it was nice to see the Winter Wonderland and get some of that out of the way, but it is definitely nice from a real estate perspective to be able to actually take pictures of the yards again and the houses and kind of get back into gear on that. We have with us in the studio our resident in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne. Tom, what's going on with you?
You know, I had a little neighbor envy lately as I'm shoveling 8 inches of snow out of my driveway, and I see all the snow blowers going, and I'm shoveling, and then I'm thinking, well, geez, it'd sure be nice to have the Can-Am that's up at the land here with the snow plow, but apparently it's I don't bring it home enough.
Yes, and you, there is that neighbor. Luckily, I have one of those next door to me, and was able to get a little help at my place.
You would think that he would have come over and said, hey, you want to use my snowblower that I use 3 times a year? You look like you'd use it.
I definitely saw quite a bit
or
of that.
Or he could have rented it to you for $10, $15.
There you go.
I would have paid that.
They make a big difference, for sure. So, and that's one thing definitely. For folks that were on the market and when we were showing some houses, it makes a big difference when those driveways are done and the sidewalks are done and you can pull up and actually get in the house. We had a couple sales go through during that storm, so things definitely kept moving, but a nice 50-degree Chinook wind and kind of helped take care of things. So from my perspective and a business perspective, glad to see it go, for sure. One of the things we always like to start with is our celebrity real estate story. We haven't had a great one in a while, but one new one is the most expensive condo ever to be listed for sale in Utah is now being offered at $17.9 million. Don't have $18 million, Tom. Then sell some pizzas, the article out of Zillow says, because that is Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, has purchased this a while back. What he did is he purchased the entire top floor of the exclusive St. Regis Deer Valley building. So he went ahead and listed both units that make up that top floor, and it sounds like he will keep whichever of the two doesn't sell first. So that's one way to do it. Put both on the market, and whichever one sells first. And it's funny, I always try to relate these celebrity stories back to local real estate stories. And that's one of the things that we do for people sometimes is they'll say, you know, I really want to reduce my liabilities. I have 2 rental properties. It doesn't really matter to me. It's just a business decision. I'd like to sell one of the rental properties. So you know what? We'll put both of them on the market, and then once one sells, or whichever sells first, then we'll take the other one off the market. So we've done not to the tune of $18 million, which I'm fine with if anybody out there needs that, but we've done that on a much smaller scale here.
You know, Lance, I was thinking you were going to tell me he was going to be moving to Denver to be closer to his new buddy, Peyton. Not the case, huh?
No, it looks like downsizing, and when I say downsizing, that's because the furnished unit is at that price, 7,000 square feet condo, private elevator, custom ski preparation area, 5-bedroom, 7-bathroom. Now that is quite a condo.
And custom ski preparation area.
Yes, like everybody needs a custom ski preparation area.
I've always wanted one of those.
Does he have elves in there building them?
Probably have drains in the floor to take all the water as it melts, away. So it can get pretty crazy for sure. One of the things that we have coming up is we have next weekend. We have the Home and Garden Show out at the track, and so I got a lot of questions from buyers over the last couple months of when I'm considering renovations, What should I be considering? And so that was one of the things I was going to talk about today, is walking through people, what renovations will return the most amount of bang for the buck, what they should be looking at if they're looking at increasing value. And then I wanted to have this show prior to the Home and Garden Show, because a lot of people then are going to go to that next weekend and get some ideas for what they want to do. And next weekend, too, we're going to have the HBA president. We're going to have Jeff Losey with us to give us a little more insight on the market, the Home Builders Association, and what's going on there. But prior to that, I wanted to talk about what people are looking at and what considerations they're making inside the home. Because there's a lot of times things don't return as much value as some people would think. So one of the biggest ones that we wanted to talk about, and not so much about home renovation, but on the exterior landscaping, because I will tell you, one of the most glamorous and favorite parts that I have about the home show is when they do the swimming pool installs. Mm-hmm. You know, you see people, those are just fantastically gorgeous. You can picture yourself, having that pool in your yard, and they really do some amazing stuff with pools now. However, I would caution people, I love pools, and I'm a big fan of pools, for personal enjoyment, not for investment. So that's one thing that people say, gosh, I've got a pool. How are you going to add the cost of that pool into the house when we're looking at resale? Well, generally, when we look at the market as a whole, and we look at Tri-Cities and what pools have done as a whole, you can only count on recapping about 25% of that value of the pool.
Yeah, that sounds right. You know, when I see appraisals, a lot of times we see a $10,000 line item adjustment for a pool.
Regardless of how much. And if somebody put a pool in, an in-ground pool for $10,000, that is
not
going to happen very, very, very often. That might be like a buried water trough. So when we look at the cost of those installs that you're looking at, we know darn well that many of those people have spent $30,000, $40,000, $70,000, on pools with automatic covers and
the related infrastructure that goes with it.
Fountains and the cement and the electrical upgrades. So it's really hard when we're looking at a resale market. It's really hard when we go to somebody's house that has had to sell, whether it be for a job relocation, life-changing event, something like that. It's very difficult to tell somebody that spent, $100,000 on a pool that they might get $25,000 back on the resale market.
Does that affect appraisals when you're comparing comps?
Well, it does, and that's what Tom is saying, why he's seen it many times on a line item there for, say, $10,000, because the bank's going to look and they're going to say, okay, here's these similar comps. These houses are all very similar, but you've got to purchase all these other houses sold for $300. You're trying to sell yours for $325, $350. Geez, it's really the same house other than that pool back there. Mm-hmm. There's not much difference. And it's because the pool is so specific. It's so specific to a buyer. So we always caution people that definitely that needs to be installed for personal enjoyment. That needs to be something that you're going to derive a benefit, cost-benefit analysis. You're going to get a lot of benefit out of that personal enjoyment from having that pool in, because we're not going to recoup that when we go to resell.
Mm-hmm. A family will buy one, but maybe not a retired couple.
Absolutely. And so it does kind of limit the market for people that don't want one there and would rather have the yard space, or would rather have the open feeling of the backyard. So very specific. That's one that we always caution at when we talk about upgrading and remodeling. The next biggest thing that we have, and where people say, well, Lance, can you come out and tell me what you think we should do? And how does that process go? Can you tell me, we're thinking about blowing out our kitchen and changing the kitchen. We're also thinking about doing some painting and upgrading the bathrooms. Can you come out and tell us what we should do? So I wanted to kind of walk people through the beginning of that process. So one of the things I do is I come out to a house and I evaluate the house. First thing I'm looking at is, okay, what is your square footage? What is your bed, bath count? What do you physically have there now? And what upgrades have you already done? So I'm taking those notes, and then I write up a list, like a little spreadsheet. Okay, what projects are you considering? You're considering new kitchen. You're considering upgrading the interior of a shop, per se, and you're considering a new roof. So I'll take all of that information and go back and then start really digging into our database. And the first thing I'm looking for is comparable sales. What has sold? Let's say that we're looking, for instance, at a Rambler basement in Richland. So I go through and I say, okay, we're looking at a Rambler basement in Richland, built in 1950, 1944 to 1950, roughly 2,500 square feet. Go back 6 months and look, okay, how many Rambler basements have sold in Richland in the last 6 months between 2,200 and 2,700 square feet and were of the age of the 1944 model? Generally, that would look like, say, 20 results turned. Returned. And so then I can go into there and say, okay, let's look at what the highest price one sold for. So a lot of times you'll go in and look, okay, so the peak of our market, the best one sold for 200. And I go in and I really dig into that and say, wow, 200, it had a two-car detached garage. It had a brand new kitchen with granite. All new cabinets, granite, and it's got a new roof and new siding. Okay, so now we know what that looks like baseline. The one I went and looked at did not have a new kitchen, and it did have a garage, but maybe it wasn't finished. Let's just say as an example. So then I go down and I say, okay, what did the three average ones sell for? You know, what did those look like middle of the road? And so you can go in and look, and let's say, for instance, in this case, the three that without a new kitchen, those sold for $185,000 to $187,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the garage wasn't as nice. So what we do then is we take that information and we say, okay, you've gotten bids on your kitchen. It's a $20,000 remodel. Let's say. All new cabinets, blow out a wall, go back with granite, new appliances, new sink. You're looking at a $20,000 investment there. Well, if we're middle of the road right now, we know that we're around that $185,000 to $187,000. If we add $20,000 to that, you know, now we're up around $210,000, right? But the problem is, in the last 6 to 8 months, the nicest one that already had all of that sold for $200,000. We capped out. So in that instance of that analysis, it's not going to make a lot of sense for you to sink another $20,000 into the kitchen when your return is only going to be $10,000 to $12,000 more. So you're going to be looking at 50%, you know, in that range. If you look at the national averages and statistics over the last 10 years, the kitchens will generally return about 70%. But you got to look at the specific situations because that's a national average, takes in a lot of markets that might be a little better than ours. What you've really got to look at is the specific market for that style of house you're dealing with. So a lot of times we'll look at that and someone, I'll go back to them and I'll say, hey, I ran these numbers, I looked at these comparables, you're throwing good money after bad if you hit that kitchen. If you really are going to move. Now, if you're going to use that kitchen for 5 years, how much is that worth each year? Is that worth $2,000 a year to you? It might be from a use standpoint. But if we're talking about what you're going to get back out of it, that might not be the best choice in that case. Now, if all of those, if seven of my comps all have a brand new kitchen, and then it drops off, say, $20,000 or $30,000, you're going to have to put in a new kitchen if you want to get that higher dollar value, because that's where the market is. So that's a real basic look at how that process works. When we get into things a little bit deeper, it's always funny because year after year, what always shocks people is that, and it's a very small project, the number one return on a house, money that comes back to you is replacing the front door. And a lot of it comes down to initial impressions. You know, a lot of older homes just did a solid door, no windows beside it or anything. And when you replace that with a transom-style door, say some light above it, side windows, and you go in and put a new door in like that, that generally returns back like 130% is roughly what you're looking at.
I was going to guess you were going to say paint.
Well, that's really close, but that just initial impression of that brand new front door makes people, the second they walk through the house, oh, wow, this place is really well maintained.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It kind of sets the tone, and so that mm-hmm. is a big, big one for
if
sure.
If the paint's peeling, what's wrong with the rest of the house?
That's mm-hmm. exactly right, and so that front door initial impression is huge. So that is a little bit about the process that we go through, helping people determine what they should and should not do. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about where you should put the money, highest return. And Tom, you've already given it away a little bit. We're going to talk about paint. Definitely, for sure. And then we're going to talk to Tom a little bit about some money issues and how that relates to taking care of these remodels.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. It's kind of home show season, remodel fever. People looking at doing a lot of stuff in the spring. A lot of times people get excited about upgrading the house and what they can do. So we've been talking a little bit about where to put the money, the difference between utilizing something for personal use or specifically focusing on reinvestment and how much can I get back out of that investment when I make a sale. Tom, on the lending side of things, what do we need to know about this topic?
You know, I figured since we're talking about remodeling, I wanted to go ahead and chat about how people can tap into the equity they have to obtain the funds needed to finance these remodels. Not everyone has, you know, enough funds in the bank to be able to finance them, so a lot of people look to the equity we've built in the house to be able to finance. So there's a few different options people have. However, the constant in each one of them is that they need to have this equity they can borrow against. If you don't have the equity to pull from, there isn't going to be an option to get funds secured by the home. At that point, clients have to look at maybe unsecured financing options, which generally carry a much higher interest rate, less favorable loan terms. Or this may play a big role in the client deciding that maybe it's best to just purchase a new home that better suits their needs than to do the remodel. So, however, if you have the equity to work with, here's the options that you have to tap into that. The first is to do a full cash out refinance. In this scenario, we refinance the primary mortgage and take additional funds out of the home to finance the remodel. When you do a full refinance, you'll have closing costs. So I generally only recommend going this route if you need a large amount of cash out of the home to do the remodel. Reason being, let's say you're only needing $10,000. It's likely just better to do a home equity loan or maybe a line of credit. And I'll talk more about these momentarily, but generally these types of loans don't have any closing costs. But if you're doing the full cash out refinance and you only need this $10,000, it might cost you $3,000 to get that $10,000. Well, then that probably doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense, no.
So if you need $50,000 and it's going to take you maybe 10 years to be able to pay that off, it likely makes more sense to do the full refinance because you're going to get a lower interest rate than you would with a home equity loan or line of credit. So paying these closing costs may not be a bad deal if your interest savings over those 10 years are going to exceed the cost that you spent up front. Now, if the rate on the current mortgage is higher than what the new mortgage will be, what I just said is out the window because you might get more of a benefit by dropping the rate on that primary mortgage and getting this funds out, even if you're only getting, say, $10,000.
Gotcha.
So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone in that scenario. Win-win situation is that you're saving interest on the primary mortgage and you're getting the cash out that you wanted. So it just depends kind of case-by-case basis on if that scenario makes sense. Now, on a conventional loan, owner-occupied property will go up to 85% of the value of the home on a cash-out refinance. So let's say the house is worth $100,000. The people owe $50,000. If we can go to 85%, we're going to be able to go up to $85,000 loan amount. They're now getting $35,000 cash out.
Gotcha.
It's the same for FHA, 85% of the value of home, and VA, we can actually go up to 90% on a cash-out refi. So the second option, if the full cash-out refi doesn't make sense, is doing a home equity loan. Home equity loans generally have zero closing costs, so that's a great feature on them. The term of the loan is set similar to a full refinance, say 10 to 20 years. However, the rate will be a little bit higher than what a normal refinance would be. The major benefits of home equity loans are low to no closing costs, fixed loan terms, fixed rate, and you get the funds you need relatively quick. The downside, the rate's going to be a little bit higher than if you refinance the entire amount. Again, this goes back to how much do you need and what's the rate on the current first mortgage.
Now, are those home equity loans, are those generally variable rates or do those stay fixed? How does that work?
You beat me to my next topic.
Okay, gotcha.
So home equity loans are fixed, but the next option of tapping into equity would be a home equity line of credit. We call them HELOCs.
Oh, that's where I was getting at. Okay, gotcha. I'm with you now.
So
you'd think I'd know this, but...
Similar to home equity loans, HELOCs have low to no closing costs. However, HELOCs, again, generally have an adjustable interest rate. So the rates will float with the market over time. They're similar to a credit card in the sense that the client can borrow the funds as they need them. They'll be given a credit line, so when the borrower repays the borrowed funds they've already taken out of this line, additional funds become available. So just like a credit card, they're open-ended, there's not a set loan term. It's really a great option for someone who needs funds over a long period of time. So let's say you need $100,000 to do this remodel, but you're only going to need $10,000 this month and maybe $5,000 the next month, and on the fourth month you'll need $20,000. So it would be better to get a home equity line of credit because you're only paying interest on the amount that's borrowed.
Right.
Where on a home equity loan, if you needed $100,000, we're going to give you $100,000 today. You're going to start paying interest on that $100,000. So it just depends on your scenario, what your needs are. Now, let's say the biggest benefit to home equity line of credit is again the closing costs. Lots of flexibility to access this money when you want. I know a lot of people, investors, who have say a line of credit, and they'll go and purchase a home with an investment property. Maybe they use the line of credit to finance repairs, and then they turn the house, or they use it for down payments for other.
And then when they're done with it and it's fixed up and meets lending requirements, they can go back and get a traditional fixed mortgage on it.
Exactly. So there's a lot of benefits to a home equity line of credit. The downside really is the adjustable rate. It takes away a lot of the security that a fixed rate gives you. It's just case by case on which loan makes sense for you. So each person's situation is different. Really important that if you're considering any one of these options, give me a call and we can discuss what's going to best fit your scenario, and then we'll then match up the program that best suits their needs.
Perfect. That's great, great information, Tom, and that really helps with our topic of remodeling. When people go to the home show next weekend and they start to see all of the projects and things they want to do, this is an option of how to be able to get some money if they have existing equity to do some of those projects and improve the value of the home, for sure. So we're going to talk a little bit more about sometimes the best things you can do to get return on your money. Number one is paint. You mentioned it. After we look at the front door and that's in good condition, is a fresh coat of paint. What generally happens a lot of times is people like to personalize homes. You put up your personal pictures. You have your family pictures. You have stuff that's really specific to you. We try to neutralize that as much as possible in a resale situation. However, if you've lived in a house 5, 7, 8 years, the paint that you're going to take to do touch-up out of the can in the garage is now going to be a lot newer than the faded paint on the walls. And so as you try to touch up a hallway of the family museum photos, all down one hallway, it just doesn't work if you do small amounts like that.
Looks like dots.
It does. It does look like dots, and it's almost impossible to match up. You know, a house that's 2 or 3 years old where the paint hasn't faded much, you can blend it and make it work. Very difficult on an older home or if you have a lot of holes and stuff to fill. So a lot of times the best return you'll get on your money is interior paint. I just listed a house that was for some folks that was a rental. It's a fantastic house. They had actually moved back into it temporarily before they get transferred. They went through and they professionally repainted the entire inside of the home. And now this is a home that is about 5 or 6 years old, but it looks brand new. I mean, it really looks brand new. I mean, when I came over and we got our photos back and our pictures, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And so that is, you know, it's really interesting to take a house, you know, 5, 6 years old like that, do complete repaint inside, and it looks as nice as the brand new houses that the buyers are going to be seeing. And that's what we're talking about, why we're talking about this show, too, is you are going to always be compared to new construction. It's too easy to show. They're normally vacant, and buyers want to see what they could get if they decided to go new. They may not be able to, but they're going to want to see what they could get. Mm-hmm. So as close as you can get to new without being new is really going to give you an advantage, and it starts with paint. Number two, the biggest thing that we see, and that is carpet. And that is having newer, fresh carpet. It's one of the biggest turnoffs for buyers. It's one of the easiest things for them to see. They're walking around. They're looking down for stains and stuff like that. A good middle-of-the-road carpet upgrade can go a long ways to people really feeling like a house has been maintained. And so carpeting is a huge one. And
especially if you have a pet.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have a pet. Mm-hmm. And the problem is because if you do have a pet, I mean, generally there's a lot of folks that do, but there's also a lot of folks that don't. And if you do have a pet and someone is highly adverse to that, you're excluding that whole portion of the market where they're either factoring that cost into their purchase, you know, into their purchase price where they're going to give you a lower offer than expected, or they just can't deal with that type of stains, allergies. It might be medically related. So that is a big one. And then we really go to, after that, we go to bathrooms. And one reason we go to bathrooms is because you'll generally get a higher return on the bathroom. Because number one, you're dealing with a smaller area. So you can make upgrades to the bathrooms and not have as large of an expense as you would with a full-blown kitchen remodel. You can do 2 bathrooms, you can do some vanities, and you can do some surfaces, and you can get out of there for a couple $1,000s and really give the house a new look. And so bathrooms are a big one. And then we always do come back to the kitchen. There's a lot of time spent, you know, in the kitchen. A lot of people look to that as an entertaining area. If cabinets have not been abused too bad, some of the best returns we get are from new countertop replacements. I've seen, $300,000 houses with pink countertops. They change the countertops to a neutral color and a more modern finish. And that I've seen a house sell then within weeks after that change, when it's been on the market for months. So I've seen a lot of examples of that happen. And you know, late 90s, I mean, it's funny because I kind of see all of these trends when I'm touring and showing people houses. But, you know, pink and mauve was really popular mid to late 90s. You never see pink countertops. Rarely do you see pink tile or mauve type. But I could take you to specific neighborhoods and I could just walk you through house after house that had that. When buyers see that in today's light, it's a big turnoff to them. And so making those changes just to those surfaces, I'm not saying rarely do you get your money back when you do a full cabinet design change. That gets really expensive and really difficult. But a simple facelift, some new hardware on the doors, some new countertops can change a kitchen dramatically. So you'll get a lot of mileage for that. Those are some of the best things. Another thing I had a quick list of, National Association of Realtors went through and they wrote down the biggest turnoff for buyers. And so since we talked about remodeling, I wanted to go through that list of the biggest turnoffs for buyers, so mistakes that people can avoid. Number one on that list was overpricing. was one of the biggest turnoff to a buyer, fastest way to make a buyer leave a house. Number two, they had no second bathroom. If you have the choice of purchasing a one bathroom versus a two bathroom, and you can maybe stretch $2,500 now to make that change, it's going to pay off in spades later for you. So no second bathroom is a big one. And then no garage or just a single car garage. Big turnoff in today's buyer's markets. Most buyers are looking for a minimum two-car garage. So once again, that's another one. And then lastly on the list that they had was, I was surprised to see this on the list, but no dining room. Now, a lot of younger families and the great room concept that we've seen so popular over the last 10 years took away the dining room. You know, you have kind of the nook off of the kitchen where you generally eat a lot, but it took away that formal dining room. But to a lot of people that entertain or host dinner parties or are in that mode of entertaining, having a dining room is something that they do look for. And that was a shocker for me. That's probably because I never use mine. Right? But, that's the thing. When you go to sell, you can't think about what you do. You have to think about what the market does. In general. So that's the list there. Definitely plan on going next weekend to the Home and Garden Show. It's always a great show. Home Builders does a great job with that. We're going to talk about that in depth next week when we return here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Right here on News Talk 870.